I work in corporate finance, so I head up the M&A team at Ernst & Young in the city. So I have a career in corporate finance, and on Fridays and Saturdays, I pull on the white boots and come and make cheese.
So it's a big difference between what you're doing at the start of the week to the end of the week. Where did the idea to make that change come from?
Well, I grew up on a farm on Eyre Peninsula, and always had an interest in agriculture and getting back into farming, but looking at a product that is high value add, and I had the luxury or the good fortune to be able to take my time and look at it and have a real passion for cheese, and love the history and the science and art combination that is associated with cheese. And so being able to ease my way out of the corporate finance world into cheese making has been a great privilege.
What has that process been like?
Terrifying and exciting, as someone described it as being exhilarating, which I think is equal parts terror and excitement, which I think is a very good description. But it's been about 5 years. It's taken us about 5 years. We're at the point, possibly in the next couple of months, that we'll look to probably go full time or more on the cheese side than the corporate finance side. But every step of the way, there's sort of steps where you have to step off the cliff and take the punt. So that's where we're at.
You said you've got the real passion for cheese. Where do you think that come from? Is it that combination of the art and science that you were talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I think the well, certainly I had, again, a good fortune to do some travelling in Europe, and love the French culture and France in general, and particularly country France. And the great thing about France and Italy, both countries, is that they have individual cheeses for each village, and obviously, your cheese from your village is better than anyone else's. I found that fascinating, where you could go 20 kilometres down the road and you'd have a completely different style of cheese and wine for that matter, but cheese particularly was more regionally specific. And then I did a 1 day course at the Artisan Cheesemaking Academy here in Adelaide, and driven by that interest, and just love the combination of art and science. So a good scientist can make okay cheese, but the exceptional cheeses are made by good scientists who are also artists. So I'm on that 50-year plan to become an artist who makes exceptional cheese.
And you sort of had that art background as well. Were you quite interested in doing that as a bit of a hobby as well?
Yeah, I was one of those odd bankers or engineers, was my original training, who painted and drew. So it's certainly non-standard in that context. But yeah, I definitely loved that left and the right brain aspect of maths and art.
Now the name Section 28, it's got a bit of a family connection.
Yeah, it has. My family farm is, dad's farm is based just out of Arno Bay, Cleve and Arno Bay on the Eyre Peninsula, and Section 2800 of Roberts. So it was a nod back to, I guess, where the inspiration started, or the interest started anyway.
Now we're standing here just outside of some pretty fancy looking shipping containers, fancier than I've seen before, but we're just going to have a bit of a look in the factory now and explain sort of how you make the cheese.
Sure, come on in. So this is a production room. As you said, it's the inside of a 40-foot shipping container, which is a little bit unique in the Australian cheesemaking world. But from our perspective, it suited what we were looking to do and suited our business model. And as you say, it doesn't actually look like a shipping container once you get inside. So we're in the middle of pasteurising at the moment. So we pick up 500 litres every morning that we make from Glenmax Holsteins, which is one of the local dairy farms at Mount Torrens, about 10 k's down the road. We pasteurise it here. We bought in the equipment from France, so we could both batch pasteurise and make the cheese all in the same vat, so to minimise the handling of the milk and optimise the control. And then once we've pasteurised, we'll add the culture to it and the rennet. And once we have the rennet set, we cut it and cook it all in the same vat. So we make Alpine semi-hard and semi-soft cheeses, which are a little bit, which are unique in the Australian market. There's very few of us that make that style of cheese. And the way you make those cheeses is by cooking it up to 55 degrees, which gives you a particular texture and taste, which is different to your, say, your Camembert or soft ripened cheeses.
Was it important for you to be using local milk from around this Adelaide Hills area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually sited the factory based on the source of our milk, so proximity to the milk. We again had the time and the luxury to actually find what we believe was the best source of milk for us. The guys at Glenmax would regularly win prizes for best milk in Australia, and it suits our cheese style perfectly.
And what's the relationship like with the dairy? They're pretty happy to come along and have a look at what's happening with their milk?
Yeah, I think, I think like most guys, they thought we were mad initially when some guy shows up from a bank notionally and says that he's interested in buying milk. But look, it was important to us to establish effectively a working partnership. I know what I don't know, and I don't know dairy farming, and I certainly don't know herd husbandry. And Andrew's exceptional at it. So having that ability to just say, you know, how are you going? What are you feeding the cows at the moment? You know, we're seeing this. This is showing up in our cheese. You know, we're getting a slightly lower yield. How's your protein going? And understanding what's happening in the paddock is really important to us.
So this machine here that's got the milk in at the moment, how long will it take to go from that to what you've got in the other shipping container, which is actually a box of cheese?
Yeah, so, the pasteurisation process takes us about, by the time we heat, pasteurise and cool, takes us about 2 hours. And then the actual make process, it's about 8 o'clock now, and we'll be putting it into the press, so it'll look like curds and whey at about 11, and then it presses over this style of cheese, the Monforte, which is a Alpine semi-hard, presses overnight, and then tomorrow it goes into a brine bath for a day and a half, and then into the affinage room.
And the cheese press is what's next to this. The pasteuriser here?
Yeah. So we had that custom built for us. We actually, because we make three sizes of cheeses, two styles and three different sizes, the standard cheese press wasn't able, well, it wouldn't work as well. We would have to have a couple of cheese presses. Obviously, space is a bit of a premium inside a shipping container, so we had it custom built by a local guy. As I said, it presses overnight for the one we're making today. For the Mont Priscilla, which is an Alpine semi-soft, it presses for about 2.5-3 hours. So come on in. This is a packing room, which again we're in a 20-foot shipping container, but this is a refrigerated shipping container. And then come through, and then at the back of it is our affinage room, which is really a fancy French way of saying cave for storing maturing cheese. So we've got about 2 ton of cheese, 2,000 kilos of cheese in here at the moment, and about a 1,500 kilos of Monforte, which are the 10-kilo semi-hard wheels, and we age them for a minimum of 6 months and up to 18 months. At the moment, and in addition to that, just for a bit of fun, we make a 45-kilo traditional style Grand Reserve Monforte.
Where does that normally go? Or that's just a special one that can sit in the cave?
I think that's we'll release it after 3 years. So it's 6 months old at the moment. It's a baby in the overall scheme of things. The interesting thing is that we didn't necessarily think it through fantastically well, because 55 kilos having to wash and turn every week is a bit of an effort. But we'll make that every 6 months, I think, and that'll be a special release for, you know, we've had people that have supported us through the process and are big fans of Section 28 cheese, and it'll be a special release for them in 3 years' time.
Now, you said wash and turn the cheese. What are you meaning by that? Is it actually washing the cheese?
Yeah, we at the moment, the two styles are washed using a brine solution, which is about 3% brine solution. So part of the maturation process, there's a build-up of yeasts and moulds on the outside, and each week, depending on the age of the cheese, you either wash it with a really wet brush or a special cheesecloth or a semi-dry brush. And that's really, it's just to knock back the yeast and mould on the outside. These semi-hard and semi-soft Alpine cheeses, they ripen from the inside out, and you want to just not have the moulds on the outside causing excessive maturation on the outside.
There's a few different looking cheeses here, but they've all sort of got a consistent sort of look to them. Can you explain what sort of each shelf is displaying?
Yeah, so these ones are the Mont Priscilla. So the Mont Priscilla is an Alpine semi-soft, and it's harks back to, or you know, inspired by the French Morbière, which has a line of ash through the middle, and we have a line of ash through the middle of ours. It ripens using internal yeast, but also we have a Brevi linen on the outside, which gives it a really vibrant orange colour. And you can see on these shelves, you can see basically we make one batch a week at the moment, and you can see the different weeks. So we've got 11 weeks worth of shelving, or 11 batches, and the really white ones were the ones that I made last Saturday. So they haven't got the orange Brevi linen yet, and they're certainly not ripe. And the ones above it are the ones that I made 80 days ago, and they're ready for sale. So they're ready for sale now. So they're a vibrant orange. You can see that the pate is the rind is a lot harder. They're a bit smaller because they've shrunk, so they shrink a bit in here. But you still can see they have the similarity of having the line of ash through them. It's just not as white. And then you've got the shades, the various shades, as you can see, stepping from the bright, bright white down through a dull cream into the orangey colour as it matures.
Now, we spoke about Section 28 being the family farm name, but you've got some other connections to back on the Eyre Peninsula as well with some of the names of the cheese.
Yeah, it's like anything, choosing a name that means something to you, which is what we're about, is an interesting process. So we have had two cheeses, Montforte and Mont Priscilla. Mont Priscilla, my wife and I grew up two farms apart, and we started dating when came over to uni. So, and in between us was Mount Priscilla, which is it's a tiny little hill, but it has a grand name, and we kind of like it. And so we Frenchified it by calling it Mont Priscilla. For us, it's important. It has that connection. It has a reference back to both of our farms. And Montforte, we took the family, Joe and I took the family to northern Italy, Piemonte, for a year, at the beginning of this process. And we lived in a spectacular little village called Montforte d'Alba. So our premier cheese, our principal cheese, is called Montforte, which references that. It's mountain fort, but it translates well from a cheese marketing or branding perspective.
Now, where are you selling the cheese?
Our model is about building partnerships. So really based on the French model of cheese making, which is building partnerships with the supplier and also building partnerships with your distributor and the retailer. So we have two wholesalers who wholesale for us, and they sell both to retail, specialty retail cheese shops, and also to food service, so restaurants. But we also they also have great relationships with a couple of food lands here in Adelaide particularly, and down in McLaren Vale, that specialise in cheese. So they have a specialty cheese bench, and they're stocking it as well, which is a bit of a buzz when you're walking through the supermarket and see your cheese in the shelves.
Now, I love a good cheese and wine platter. How do you go? Do you put one of these out at a dinner party and roll this out?
Yeah, I think it's an occupational hazard. You invariably when you go to a dinner party or you have a dinner party, the expectation is you'll bring the cheese plate, irrespective of whether you want to cook dessert or not. Look, we mix it up a bit because we recognise that, and also for me, I know what it tastes like. So you know, if I'm taking a cheese platter, I like to bring along some luxury items from other producers to taste and try. But certainly, it's really satisfying to be able to give to your friends, your family, or people that help you out just something that you've made and that you know is a good quality product that they'll enjoy.
So what's next for Section 28?
I think for us, we're still in the process of perfecting these two cheeses. And look, to be honest, that's going to be 50 years. But I think we've got 80% there, and certainly for us, focusing on getting it to 95% in the next 6 months is pretty important. In addition to that, we're starting to look over the horizon because, as you can see, these have got a 6 month lead time. So you're starting to look 6 months ahead and think, well, by that stage, we hope to be well established with these two cheeses. We should have the production and affinage down pat, and then we're starting to look at what would be our next cheese that we release within the range. So I think we're always going to stick to the Alpine style cheeses, the Alpine semi-hard and semi-soft. There's some amazing, which limits you to 1500 or 2000 cheeses that you could make. So there's no limitation on that basis. And we want to capture the essence of the Adelaide Hills. So these are good. We think they're good cheeses. The feedback is they're good cheeses. They're good cheeses inspired by the French. What we would like to do is actually find a genuinely local cheese, or create a genuinely local cheese that reflects the terroir of the Adelaide Hills. So is that, and we're just working through a couple of scenarios at the moment. Is it washed by a local wine? Do you use the cherries or the apple cider or the apples themselves? How do you actually capture that? Not only capturing the essence of the hills in the milk, but also in what you then do to the in the aging of the cheese.